Come in, Floyd.
Oh.
I'm on my special Andy of Mayberry frequency.
Hey, cool. Hello. I'm coming in.
I got him.
I see the white smock.
I got him. I got him.
Got him.
Brought him in.
Hey,
Floyd the barber.
Good to be here. How are you?
Hey, Floyd.
How's that kidney doing?
Oh, doing much better. Thank you for asking,
that's
Floyd.
Minor rough shape. You. Ooh, so just you know, mind it. I might as well not even bother having them. You know.
Oh, you're dead.
Oh, that's right. Oh yeah, they're like everything else. All my other organs, you know, all maggot food and all the beetles eating them and all that. Yeah.
Hey, Floyd.
Ooh, yes, honey boy.
Guess who we had on the show today?
Oh,
Andy.
Ooh.
Andy and Mayberry. We had Andy Griffith on the phone today.
Oh, the general. Yeah, oh, the general. Yeah.
Why do you call him the general?
He ran the old set with an iron fist. You know? He's a tough boy. There,
Andy Griffith.
Oh yeah, taskmaster. You know, we'd always have to pay attention to what he was doing, and he'd come in and we'd be talking about him. Have a nice animated discussion.
He'd walk up and go, "Ooh, it's the general. Slow down. No bad talk about Andy and Mayberry." What about Dick Van Dyke? What about the feelings with Andy and Dick Van Dyke?
Oh, funny guy. Oh, yeah. That Dick Van Dyke, he was on the same lot.
We heard that Andy was very...
Just down around the corner, right. They'd shoot the Dick Van Dyke show.
Andy was very jealous of Dick.
Hated him, yeah.
Hated him?
Did he tell you that?
Well, he said he was jealous of him.
Oh, he hated him. Oh, he's more than jealous.
Really?
Yeah. Tried to kill him a couple of times.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Andy of Mayberry?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, cut the brake line of his car.
I don't
believe
that.
Oh, he did.
That.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, jealous. Jealous of everybody in those days, yeah. Didn't Robert Young, Marcus Welby, you know,
remember
Father Knows Best,
right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, he's jealous of him. Try to kill him, too. Yeah. Try to kill everybody. That's the way he was, Andy. Just missed your jealousy. And I tell you, we had to snap, too. Everybody had to pretend like they liked him. We all hated him. Oh, yeah, it was real tough. Oh, yeah. He's real tough to work with. Yeah. Goober and Pile Boys, Goober and Gromer, oh, they were scared to death of him.
Oh, they were, Andy?
Oh, yeah, we all were. Yeah. Andy was the general. We all had to behave because Andy's coming by. Oh, dear, yeah. We'd have these checker games, you know, late at night after the show be done.
Let me ask you about those checker games, about the secret handshake club.
Fine checker games. We played strip checkers, you know, yeah.
Oh,
we'd have Emmett would come by, Howard, Sprig, you know, he's a fine boy.
And Emmett was a good guy.
Yeah, we played. I said, Howard, filming's going to be done in about an hour and a half. You know, come over and play a little S.C., you know what I mean? And he knew what
strip
I meant.
Checkers.
Strip checkers. He'd come by.
Who
played? It'd be around the table. We'd play a round robin, you know. Little round robin strip checkers.
Pile boys play?
Well, sometimes, yeah. Goober'd be there a lot. He liked to play. He liked to play. And we'd have Emmett would be there. Otis would come by.
What about Barney?
Barney, no.
What about Ernest T. Bass?
You know why Barney didn't come by?
Why?
He's afraid of the general. Yeah, general didn't like the strip checkers, no. It came in one time. We were in there. I was playing. It was down to me and Emmett the Fix-It Man. I was sitting there just in my briefs. I wore briefs, not boxes.
Everybody else is naked?
Oh, yeah. Everybody else naked sitting around applauding because we had such a great match going with the checkers, you know. And I doubled Emmett.
Crowned me.
Yeah.
Had a different meaning.
When I crowned Emmett, it was something special to watch. And I beat him. And just at that moment, Emmett was sliding out of his big red jammies that he used to wear underneath his Fix-It suit outfit. And Andy came walking through. He was burned up.
Sure.
Burned up. Said, no more strip checkers on the set of Andy the Griffin Show.
Oh.
No way. But we still had our fun. We find our secret places. We
how
go down
you guys,
by the fishing hole. You
how come you guys didn't ever play with girls?
Oh, no. Too much time. You got sweet talking and all that. You can play strip checkers with the boys. Just bring them all over. You don't have to set the table. You just say, come on, boys. Put down the board, take your clothes off, have a good old time. Boy, we'd have a great time, and then be body rubs for everybody. That's another story.
Floyd.
About the body rubs.
Floyd, I'm losing you, Floyd.
Oh, it's too bad.
Floyd, was Selma Lou a man or a woman? Was Selma Lou a man? Floyd.
He's gone. Lost him.
Hi, everybody.
I didn't know the sound effect bell went all the way around.
I didn't drive that car.
My boy.
He still doesn't have the use of that one arm, I noticed.
I guess
I don't know if that was pre-strike or post-strike.
The stroke, yeah. Yeah, stroke, yeah.
Late in the show.
Floyd?
He's back. Yeah. Is he coming back? Yeah.
Floyd, as we're talking to you today, is this before your stroke or after your stroke?
It's before. Before. I'll come back again sometime. Maybe I come back tomorrow. Post-stroke.
Oh, and Floyd, listen. Yeah. Perhaps you could wish a bit of a good luck to a young gal named Amanda who's having a baby in Idaho.
Oh, I couldn't do that. No.
Oh, no?
No. She's white trash with the pimply butt. Yeah. Bye.
Was that the real Floyd?
Of course it was.
It's amazing.
Floyd the Barber.
Just some of the things he said.
I brought him in with a Star Trek sound.
Right. Very nice man.
Does it every time.
Yeah, he's afraid of the general.
General Griffith.
General Andrew Griffith.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
S-A-S-E, what? W-J-S-N.
Michael Bay.
How about ya?
Their minds are slowly being taken over by the violently insane Bob Hope, Don Geronimo, and Mike O'Mara.
Toes have been touched. Toes. Burn out of your radio, Megan and Uzi Ness, what they call 100. Right now, spooters, burn out of your radio like
you know who.
No. They call 100. Let me give you some stuff at 1-800-636-1067. Call 100 right now. Good luck. 2 minutes till 7 on the East Coast, and it's 2 till 4 out west here with the last look at the day's news is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. A federal judge has thrown out 4 Whitewater-related charges against Arkansas Governor Jim Guy Tucker and another 4 counts against Susan McDougal. The judge in Little Rock has let stand all 19 counts against James McDougal. The McDougals were President Clinton's Whitewater partners. It'll be interesting to see if the price of the pump goes down 4 cents a gallon, because Democrats and Republicans are pretty much in agreement that Congress will be dumping a 4-cent gas tax increase imposed 3 years ago. It's a Republican idea to take the sting out of these higher gasoline prices, preferably before the summer driving season. The Senate has a vote scheduled for tomorrow. The White House says the pendulum of public opinion is about to swing Bob Dole's way. It has to, says presidential spokesman Mike McCurry. He says the pendulum has swung so far to Clinton's side that, quoting him, you can hear the cable groaning. With 6 months till the election, McCurry says it's all too good to be true. He points out that no presidential race in recent memory has been decided by 20 points. Nevertheless, Clinton has a strong lead among women. And with Republicans fighting each other, some Democrats are predicting they'll not only keep the White House, they'll win back Congress. The widow and a son of William Colby have said thank you to all of those who helped look for the late CIA chief. Colby's body was found this morning on a riverbank near his Maryland vacation home. Officials think he drowned while canoeing last month, and they have ruled out foul play. The Maryland State Supreme Court is pondering whether that state should keep its confidential list of people suspected of child abuse. The list is being challenged by a man accused of sexually abusing his niece, even though he was never formally hit with criminal charges. New hope for men with enlarged prostate glands. Federal regulators have approved a microwave treatment that's safer than surgery, they say, and better than drugs. Doctors say it's not a cure, but that it has helped 75% of the men in tests that lasted up to 4 years. The machine is called a prostatron. It uses heat to destroy the extra tissue that makes urination difficult. It's an outpatient procedure that takes about an hour. This is all important because more than half of all men over age 60 have enlarged prostates. A hand in the hand is worth 2 to an amputee. A bizarre moral to an equally bizarre story, which follows the sports. Next.
My psychologist asks me what I see in the sink block.
On. The Chicago Blackhawks host the Colorado Avalanche in the only NHL playoff game slated tonight. That best-of-7 conference semifinal series is tied at a game apiece after the team split a pair of matches in Denver. Former Boston Red Sox manager Butch Hobson is facing a cocaine possession charge in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Police say he was arrested Saturday. Hobson's currently managing a AAA club that was playing in Pawtucket over the weekend. Acting Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig says there is no appropriate response to what Marge Schott said last night on ESPN on Adolf Hitler, a subject that got her suspended 3 years ago. She said last night, quote, "Everybody knows he was good at the beginning, but he just went too far," end quote. She praised Hitler for the roads he built and for his rebuilding of the German economy. NASCAR's official standings released today confirmed Dale Earnhardt's 115-point lead over Dale Jarrett. Terry Labonte is third, 131 points behind Earnhardt. Finally, you've got to hand it to the police in the Boston suburb of Quincy, Massachusetts. They don't usually run a newspaper ad when a crime victim loses some valuable piece of property, but they did in this case. The victim and the perpetrators, as police like to call them, were on the red line into Boston. The victim had his tote bag on the train with him, and inside the bag, an artificial hand. It's a medical prosthesis for a guy who could literally use a hand, and although the work that it does is priceless, the device would cost about $6,000 to replace. And a couple of guys who obviously have more hands than they know what to do with, too much time on their hands apparently, stole the handbag and the hand that was inside of the bag. The newspaper ad just asks the crooks to hand over the hand, no questions asked. It's not like the bad guys can profit from their crime. There is no market for secondhand hands.
Mr. Hobbs.
And
you dick.
Idle hands are the devil's tools. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No, 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 no.
Hands across America. Hello. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Your call 100.
All right.
Who is this, please?
Butch.
Hey, Butchie boy.
Hey, Butch.
Yeah.
You know, as an Elvis used to call us chocolate milk. Love my Butch, man.
Butch, where are you from?
Springfield.
Call 100. Hold the line.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
See you tomorrow.
Hey, dude.
You know the old tiny Tim.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Lawrence Welk Singers.
Adios.
Goodbye. Au revoir. I'll be the same. Good night.
And Butch?
Yes.
Your father wanted you to have this watch.
He'd be damned if you were going to let him eat.
Whatever the ethnic slur is that he uses in that movie, Butch! You won flowers for Mother's Day or any occasion. Call 1-800-Flowers. Stop by one of their stores. Visit 1-800-Flowers online. 1-800-Flowers. Best stores. Give your donor. Adios.
Adios.
Good night.
Did you say Faya Condias?
Yes.
1-800-Flowers is the best florist because they guarantee only the freshest flowers. 1-800-Flowers, the world's favorite florist. Thank you for listening.
I did want to remind everybody to watch Amanda's very special program tonight on the Fox Network, When Animals Attack. She'll be featured tonight. That's at 9 o'clock. I'm going to go home and look for Amanda on there.
Andy of Mayberry has his new gospel album out. I don't know the name of it. It's available on a TV order.
Say Jude.
You know what, Andy of Mayberry? Hey, Jude.
Na, 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 na.
Tomorrow, we'll be giving away a trip to Mexico. Winner of the Corona Cinco de Mayo trip gets the trip for two to Cancun with 4 days and five nights accommodations, round trip airfare, Continental Airlines, stay at a nice Marriott hotel. Continue celebrating Cinco de Mayo in grand style with Corona, the numero uno party beer for Cinco. And tomorrow, someone also wins a telescope brand patio furniture set from the people in Wood Stove and Spa Shops, valued at $500. That'll be on tomorrow's program.
Good.
Tomorrow, Charles Broyle has honey sucked from his toes.
Oh.
A man will bring a mariachi band and smear himself with mayonnaise and allow us to pelt him with beans. A woman will eat 60 tequila worms. A woman will smear her body with peanut butter and jelly as we toss bread and nanas at her. A man will make a spectacle of himself with a burro. And Carl Grossman will be boxing multiple women.
Yeah, I kind of like it just that Carl Grossman will be beaten.
How appropriate. Multiple personalities, and he'll be fighting multiple women. That will be on tomorrow's show. That's it. I got a flight to Cincinnati. I got to get out of here. Thank you, Radio's Buzz Burbank.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Don.
You ready?
Yeah.
Here's the lovely Mary Richards ready to throw her hat in the air.
You might just make it after
all. Yeah.
What grace.
And we'll see you tomorrow. Tommy Joe, me want Beyond You Show.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Jim Stevens, don't be so kind. Give my daddy more money.
Delightful. Delightful. This is the best show we've ever done.
What best thing on the radio?
Don and Mike kick ass.
Please focus on the show.
Don and Mike, my brothers.
Still a good time with that guy off.
That's about as good as it gets. Well, so long and have a good night.
Adventures in Dixland.
Barney boy, there go two of the good ones. You said it, Fred.
Don and Mike. Kick ass.
Don and Mike.
We could go on for hours and mesmerize you. You've been a terrific audience. We hope you enjoyed yourselves. We're at that time where we have to go. Thank you for coming. Good night. God bless you.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Right, service and selection. Cutler style.
Radio Gods. Don and Mike.
Right on!
So here he is with his big jukebox. Yep, the number one man of all the shops.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Record Man, what we mean is turn up the sound on the record machine. Roll back the rug and stand up, folks. Here comes the man with the music and jokes. He's gonna play the top 10 and the bottom 50.
Yeah.
You know his face, it's all so nifty. So
yeah.
Let's start to swing and let's start to sway. Here comes the guy with some records to play.
Oh, do you want your car back, correct? Or don't you want it back, correct?
I said, no, I want it back, I just want it back. Just give me the car. I don't care about the alignment. I don't care if the tires are worn. Yeah. I just want the car back.
Give it to me. It's my car.
So I threatened him then. But I realized I threatened him without telling him who I was.
Right.
You know what I mean? Since I have my real name and my DJ name.
Let me tell you something, Patty. Yeah. You cross me, and you're going to be barking up the wrong tree. You watch, Pee-wee Herman.
That's the rap. I said to him today, I said, I don't want to have to talk about this. I don't want to have to give you bad publicity. And when I hung up the phone, I thought, you know, I don't normally get the satisfaction that I get out of that. And then Frieda says, well, this... Does the guy know that you got a radio show? And, you know, and of course, me, Mr. Ego, this, I said, does everybody know?
Everyone should know. Everyone in the world should be aware of the fact that I'm doing a radio program.
So I don't know. If we don't have a car by tomorrow, I'll say the name of the place.
Yeah, well, you should.
And that's the weekend.
That's it. And you're looking good. You're better. You're recovered.
Yeah, feeling good. Anybody out there who wants to lose weight, I'll tell you, there's two great ways to lose weight.
Oh, no.
First, get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself arrested. Because you're going to be under so much stress that you're going to drop 10 pounds right there.
Uh-huh.
And second, when you're coming off that, just when things are going good,
yes,
then have a life-threatening problem with your kidneys. And I guarantee you, man, I tell you, I am tight.
Yes?
I'm almost thinking, you know, almost worth it.
Right.
Almost, well, look at this.
With a capital A.
Look at these.
Mm-hmm.
Look at these buttocks. These are tight buttocks. How do you like those buttocks, Charlie? I like those tight buttocks in your face.
You're feeling fit.
Yeah, I feel great today.
You should.
So your weekend. Now, I know that your weekend was spent out in horse country, and might I add,
yes,
in snob country, you went to an event that I believe you gave me a particularly hard time for going to with Frieda last fall when Frieda dragged me out there.
Did you go there last year?
Yeah.
That was the same event,
right?
Stop
by the polo matches.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. It was, you know, society and horse people and all this. But this is an event that's also, you know, open to not just horse people. There 50,000 people go to this thing.
Yeah, but they're all snobs.
No, they're not all snobs.
They're all people wearing the straw hats like his name used to wear in the Johnny Carson show.
The snobs are separate from everybody else. I got to go in where the snobs were. Now, I had it under good authority that I was in a special place just for snobs, and then everybody else was going to be on the other side. At least that's what I was told.
Yeah.
Don't they separate everybody at this thing?
When I went...
Because I had to go through a special gate and get a stamp and stuff.
Yeah,
and
they check your income at the gate.
And they had tents and all this stuff.
I don't think snobs would get their hands stamped, though. No. Isn't that kind of bourgeois?
Well, I thought it was pretty... bourgeoisie... We already had that discussion about that.
All right, isn't that kind of low rent, is what I mean to say, to get your
hands
stamped?
Well, I thought so. We had to wait in line to get outside. I had to take get sunglasses out in the car and take my father-in-law's sweater out to the car, and I had to go and get my hand stamped and wait half an hour in line to get out. Now, I always thought it's difficult to get into this special area, but it was great. I mean, it was terrific. I saw a couple of horse races, but by and large, it's eat, drink, and be merry. That's what this thing is.
Lovely. That's basically what it is. Lovely. Look at the wonderful polo ponies.
Well, you had told me that it was kind of a she-she event to start with, and I'd heard that this is, you know, the Gold Cup out in steeplechasing, and so I was concerned about what I would wear. And when my father...
Great Gatsby.
I put on a golf... I'm wearing my uniform, right? The uniform I wear to work every single day. That's the uniform that I put on to go to this thing until my my father-in-law arrives, and he's wearing a blue button-down shirt with khaki pants, and he had a straw hat on, which they all wear. And I
what said, did I tell you?
And I said, well, I don't. I look inappropriate. I want to look like
way down upon the Swanee River.
Well, hello, we're out here in the Virginia countryside with the horses, and I think I should dress properly. So I changed my pants. I changed into some khaki, kind of more of a yuppie look.
That's
and,
the place where I got nailed for taking a leak out in the middle of the field in between the cars.
Man, there was only one. Well, I came close, but I didn't get nailed because I was between two trucks. I went in between two trucks, and I just said, you know, I am not going to wait 35 minutes for the porta potty. It's not happening. God gave us these fire hoses for a reason, that we can go wherever we want. But I finally get this outfit that I think looks the way everybody else is going to look out there. I get a hat. I get one of these khaki hats that I'm wearing, and I put on a blue button-down shirt, and I wear khaki pants.
I hear they just see you just wearing a hat.
I've got the umbrella, but I'm really concerned with the way I look. And so I get out to this thing.
Lovely.
And it's in the VIP area, and we go walking up, and I want to thank my father-in-law because he works for a company that had one of those tents, and everybody was under the tent, and they had all the food and all the drink.
Mm.
And I'm feeling pretty good. I got my daughter in my arm. I'm walking along with my wife. She looks great. She's wearing one of those dresses that all the ladies wear at this thing. And
you got
just
your snob hat. You got your umbrella.
But I didn't know anything about the event until I got there. And I didn't realize that it's not only is it food and drink, but that one of the big things out there are cigars. Everybody's smoking cigars. They had tents that were there for cigars.
Sure, snobs love cigars.
I am so happy about this, I can't tell you. And I'm looking good, and I'm trying to be as sophisticated as I can, and I'm chatting with everybody, and there are a few folks that listen to the show, and I'm going, yes, that's great, yeah, that's, we do that show. Uh-huh, things are wonderful. Okay, listen, nice chatting with you. What I think I'm going to do is I'm going to go over and get a plate of food. Yeah.
Now, this
great,
way, did you,
great 70s, huh?
Did you have your sweater tied around your neck?
No, it was because it was weird weather. It got real cold, and the sun
real
came
hot,
out,
right.
And it was beautiful. And so I walk over, and I get a plate of this stuff, this pasta, with olive oil on top of it, and it's really good looking. And I said, yeah, great. And so I'm talking to somebody as I'm dishing the pasta out onto my plate. I'm getting a rather heaping portion. That's good.
Sure.
That's good food if you're going to be like outdoors, because you can just sort of pick at it with your fork. And I said, yeah, terrific. And then I see that they have these little dainty little tables, lawn chairs set up next to the tables, and I'm going to sit over there. And I sit down. I said, Laura, let's sit right over here. Yes, bring the baby over here. I've got my plate of pasta, and I've got my beautiful light colored pants, my khaki pants, and I sit down and I'm talking the whole time to this one lady who was organizing the event. I said, this is really terrific.
Mrs. Boggy Bottom.
I said, this is terrific. Thanks so much for having me out here. I really appreciate it. Laura, I pull out Laura's chair. She sits down. I sit down. I put my little plate of this. It was pasta with this pesto green sauce on top of it. Anybody that's ever eaten that knows it's got the speckly kind of, it's very oily.
Speckly.
Good and good for you. So I sit down and I said, thank you. This looks delicious. Just excuse me a second. And as I put the fork down, you know when you put a plate on the edge of a table and it's hanging off, mm-hmm. and then you put that weight of the fork onto it? This thing, I launched this entire plate of pasta. This not only went up in the air, it caught me at nipple level and worked its way down into the crotch and along and speckled both sides, both legs. My pants are covered with the...
You were speckled?
I was speckled. And I look down at my pants and I immediately say, this is not one of those things where you're going to dab it and it's going to go, this is just...
Everywhere
on my pants. And I look over at Laura.
Speckling.
Thank God my back was to the majority of the people at the time. I'm like, did anybody see what I did? Because this thing just went, if it was in slow motion, I would be like, oh my God.
Little pieces of carrot and pasta and sauce all careening down. And that all the snobs knew that you were one of us, a slob.
Yeah, it was one of those deals where thank God the sun was out at this point. I'm dabbing, and why is it, really, anybody that spills food, and I spill, I'm a slob, I spill a lot of food. Why is it whenever you spill anything, the food, the worst stain you can possibly get, goes right to the center of the crotch area, right down there, as if to say, My God, what type of medical problem do you have today? And I'm looking right at this thing.
And I get that. You should
seriously.
Oh, God.
Check out my underpants. I'm sure they look like my pants did the other day.
I got these big orange stains on the front of my underpants.
Oh, my God.
You know where guys normally, if you take a pee and you don't get quite all of it, you get a little leak?
Yeah.
You know, normally you don't see those spots, but when you're taking medicine,
you're special. Well, maybe that medicine was part of the sauce that they used on this pasta. Because I look down and I'm like, I'm not going to. And then I said, is it coming out? And you use water. You use ice water to dab at it. And you dab. You don't rub. I found that out a long time ago. You dab. So I'm sitting there, and I'm dabbing. dab. I'm dabbing up my crotch like this, and I'm going. Did it get it out? And Laura said, yes, it's fine. I said, is it really fine? She said, yes, it's fine. I said, is it really fine? She said, people are staring at you.
So you're dabbing your crotch?
My back was to them, and I was over in the corner going like this, trying to dab my crotch and arm. And it stayed there, but the day, was fantastic. We had a good time. I saw I didn't see any celebrities. I heard that that our good friend Frank Herzog was there.
A slob who wants to be a snob.
And I saw Art Buchwald who was walking around, and I didn't
get a chance to walk up and go, "Hi, Art Buchwald, how are you?"
He's a snob.
But the best part of my day, this is after I spilled all the pasta on my pants. Went down, and they have, I don't know how many races they have, and to be perfectly honest, late in the day, I would not have cared how many races they had, but I bet.
Did you have some medicine?
I bet a dollar on a horse. They had a little pool going where you bet a dollar for the horse, and that's really, as far as gambling, to do it on a, you had to know certain people to do it on any kind of large scale, say a little pool of horses. So I get the little racing form there, and it says, right there, my man Pedro. Pedro.
Okay, you got to bet on that horse.
Yeah. Oh, you got it. You got to bet. Now,
Pedro says.
Here's the way it worked. The little pool they had going. Uh-huh. I walk over and I said, at this point, I'm feeling pretty good. I've forgotten about the stains on my pants. And I said, I'd like to put a dollar on my man Pedro.
You talking like Bob Hope? Like that?
I'd like to put a dollar on my man Pedro. Can I do that right now, baby?
And she says, no, you put a dollar down, but then you reach into the hat and you pull out a number.
Yeah.
And whatever you get, you know, whatever number you got,
that's your horse.
No, I want to bet on my man Pedro. Please, let me bet on my man Pedro.
Big drunk guy with spots on his pants.
I'm standing over with a hat. Don't forget.
With a hat on.
With a hat and with a cigar. And with a cigar. So I have the cigar. So I'm going, Richard, I want to bet on my man Pedro. That's my horse. He said, no. I said, all right, I'll reach in the bucket. So I give her the dollar. I reach in the bucket. What horse comes up? Number three horse. Guess what number three is? My man Pedro.
Good job.
And then I go down and I
said, thank you, baby. Thank you, baby, for letting me bet on my man Pedro.
And I go down and I watch the race, and they're long races. They're not like the Kentucky Derby. Right. These are 2.5 mile races that they have. They last for a long time, and it's this horse race, and they're going, and now, I don't know what the other horse is. You know, it's Seabiscuit and Nugget coming up on the side, and now my man Pedro finishing back at about fifth. And they come around the first chance, and it's Seabiscuit, it's Nugget, it's Sea Spray, and my man Pedro is sixth. And I'm like, oh. Oh, gosh. Well, they get down to the end.
It's lettuce by a head.
And they make it their way down to the final jump. It's coming right now. And now my man Pedro making a move on the outside. My man Pedro coming down. And my man Pedro is fourth on the outside but gaining.
Now it's coming in now. And they're coming down to the final. It's my man Pedro third. My man Pedro making a last second kick. They're coming to the final jump. My man Pedro is even with the lead right now. My man Pedro takes a one-horse length. My man Pedro and my man Pedro.
We have an unofficial ruling, my man Pedro, and then somebody cried foul, because apparently the guy that was riding my man Pedro said, Pedro says, I will stab the other horse. Oh. And so what happened was, it was finally official, and my man Pedro, I won $7.
Well, thank you.
Wow.
Go to Walmart and buy yourself some new pants now.
I needed new pants, but I didn't care at that point. I had another cigar, and I was very happy that my man Pedro, but I mean, really, if I'd been at a regular racetrack, I would have taken a second mortgage out of the house, because it was my man Pedro.
Pedro.
And at that point, I was feeling very good, and saying to everybody around me, I would say, this is a lock. This is good karma. Pedro says, bet on me.
You're saying this to Mr. and Mrs. Howell, right?
I was at the Howell's.
Lovers.
At this point, I ventured out of the tent where they had kept me. you know, for safety's sake. And
lovely.
And I'm standing next to my father-in-law, and he didn't have my man, Pedro, but I'm saying,
Pedro says, this is the horse to bet. Pedro says, scream real loud, kid. My horse is coming in.
He's glad you married his daughter.
He was proud. He couldn't have been more proud. And then, of course, my man, Pedro. But, you know, as much as people were giving me weird looks when I was saying it, because I kept saying it, really,
Pedro says, you never saw such a place. Bet on these horses.
And people are standing around me. But when Pedro won, yeah, then, hey, all those dirty looks, all those were put away.
All hail the man of the stained pants.
And even though you bet a dollar, I was acting like I bet $1 million. I was going, yeah, my man Pedro, yeah, way to go. Pedro says, I am a big wiener. So I was very happy. That was my day. And I will tell you, I'm a regular. I'm back there next if
yeah,
have me.
Yeah, forget that.
I'd like to go here.
We will be right back.
You realize this is being broadcast, don't you?
This is the Don and Mike Show. Broadcasting live from the shallow end of the gene pool, the Don and Mike Show.
Thanks for listening in Jacksonville, North Carolina on the big 910 WLAS. Thank you for listening in Dover, Delaware on WKEN, the new cool, and in St. Louis on the big 550 KSD.
Oh, we got somebody who wants to defend Marge Schott.
Oh, my God.
Now listen, you want to defend the statement she's made about Hitler?
Yes.
Yeah, now, are you doing this as a goof, or are you serious?
Are you the guy who sent me the facts?
Uh-huh. She said that he built good highways, right? And he built the Autobahn. Is that true or false?
Hold on, let me just see. Is this your facts? Don and Mike. She only stated
ask
the facts.
Ask him to actually finish some words in the facts, just to make sure.
Okay,
it's him.
But at the end, it's 1 + 1?
Yes.
Okay,
this is the guy that sent the facts.
All right, here's the facts. Dear Don and Mike, she only stated the facts, you idiots. You guys are idiots. What was so bad about what Marge Schott said in her interview? She stated three facts. One, Hitler built good highways. Have you ever heard of the Autobahn? Hitler built it. Two, Hitler improved the economy. At one time, Germany was the richest and only country in the world to be debt-free.
Yeah, he built the economy and then he tore the economy apart.
This also was done by Hitler. Number three, he went downhill. No explanation needed there. I guess in today's world, we can only say that he was a murderer and that he killed 8 million Jews. If Hitler said 1 and 1 = 2, Don and Mike and Marge repeated that fact, she would be wrong as long as you are concerned.
Now I'd like to know what your whole perspective is.
Outside
of the facts, I mean,
Listen, I'm all for political correctness and everything, but how do you get past the fact that you just get past it like that Hitler killed 8 million Jews?
I'm not saying what he did was right. He was wrong. I hate the man. I'm just saying that she stated a fact. Why is everybody on her for stating a fact?
Because
Hitler's bad.
When you look at history, and when you look at the history of Nazi Germany,
uh-huh,
it doesn't matter what he did.
It's
and
what
the
he
very
did.
Fact that you can say in any case that this man was good for any period of time, you cannot. It is not. The man was evil. The man was evil personified. The man was total evil. It doesn't matter what he did.
Why don't they tear down the Autobahn? Why don't they get rid of it?
This is such a ridiculous discussion to have.
She stated a fact. That's what I'm saying.
Now, do your coworkers know you feel this way?
Why do you report on the news about hurricanes that killed people? I mean, why report that? It happened.
But because that's an act of God. Hitler's not an act of God. Hitler decided he was going to kill the Jews.
What do you have to say about that, smart guy?
Why in the news do you report about murderers? That's not an act of...
What are you talking about? Your point, you're not making any sense.
Hitler was bad. I don't care if Hitler...
Why in the news last week did they have a thing about that guy in Australia? Why print it then?
Let me tell you something.
I don't care if Hitler bit the best goddamn Autobahn that anybody's ever driven their car on.
It's the memory of the 8 million people.
This is too stupid for this show.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
This is too stupid a discussion even for this show. I really didn't think we'd have the guy who sent the facts would call in.
People make such a big... She stated a fact.
People make such a big deal. Let me inform you about the Holocaust, you idiot.
You guys are making a big deal out of it. You are turning everything around. She said something that somebody else did.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Let's get the quote from Marge Schott.
Here it is.
Before the
let's
war.
You tell us we're making a big deal. Let's get the quote from Marge Schott.
Here's the quote.
With.
Okay.
Everybody knows he was good at the beginning, but he just went too far.
Okay, now that statement alone, that's what we take issue with, and I defend that position.
And listen, there is nobody who has backed Marge Schott and her idiot, racist, bass-ackwards remarks for longer than I have.
Right, and but you have to qualify that also. I mean,
yeah.
Since we're being serious here, you have to say
right.
that you've done that
how
because it's a bit.
Here? How is she racist here?
I'm not saying
it was wrong.
You know what she said was wrong? What she said was wrong. That was Hitler was good.
He was good.
Did she say he was good?
She said
he was good at the beginning. No, he wasn't. He was never good.
She says,
what did he do that was bad at the beginning?
Hitler was on record as hating Jews before he ever gained power.
But
that's wrong.
Okay, Buzz, it is wrong. And Don, it is wrong. But I'm saying what she said.
What are you saying? I'd like to know what your point is.
Do you have any Jews? Do you work with any Jews?
I don't know.
I tell you what, why don't you go through your office today and ask, hey, I got any Jews here? And then if you find the Jews, why don't you tell them that you think Hitler built really good roads? But that the fact that he killed 8 million Jews is something we should look past because he was so good at pavement.
Who said he should look past?
I think the issue here is the insensitivity of the comment that was made by Mrs. Schott.
The notion of purifying a race is inherently wrong.
She didn't say that.
But that's what Hitler did.
No kidding.
And when you say he was good at the beginning, that ignorant statement that has absolutely no consideration for what was done and the Holocaust and the lives that were lost, that statement alone is insensitive and it borders on racist.
If a man builds a road and kills 8 million people, which should he be remembered for?
You'd be more famous for the latter.
Which should he be remembered for, though?
Building the road or killing the people?
Do you understand the insensitivity of the comment?
Well, tell me what good either.
You don't think the comment? Let me ask you a question. Uh-huh. Do you think her comments were insensitive to people that people still alive today that have family members that were killed in the Holocaust?
Oh, to anyone.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Or to anyone. You're right. To anybody, but specifically those people.
It's insensitive. Sure, but I'm saying.
Okay, that's what we're saying.
Well, then that's how we feel too.
It's not wrong what she did.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. Hitler was bad. It's been proved Hitler was bad.
So you're saying that factually she was accurate. We're saying she was not. Hitler was not good.
I don't care how the economy was, and I don't care how many good roads he built. He killed 8 million people, which takes away from the fact that he built good roads.
And that doesn't mean a man is good because he built the Autobahn.
You ask the people in the country, too, that lived there at the time, before the war and everything.
I've been to the country, and the people, many of the people over there are in denial anyway.
Listen, what I think you should do right now is go to wherever it is you work and go through the office, take a piece of straw between your teeth, because I know that right now you're just wearing your overalls, and walk up and down the halls and ask if you got any Jews there. And then when you identify the Jews, tell them how you feel about Hitler. And tell them he made a pretty good road, and that other than going downhill...
Or actually quote Marge Schott and say you agree with her, that he was good at the beginning, which you seem to be saying.
And then see what kind of response you get, then call us back.
Just say, you don't even have to say anything about the roads. All you have to do is quote Marge Schott and say, Hitler was good at the beginning. And just go through the office and
say, hey, Jews, this is John. That's your name, right?
All right.
Hey, Jews, this is John from Virginia. I think Hitler was pretty good at the beginning. Because, as you say, he went downhill. No explanation needed there. That's what you write for the killing of 8 million Jews. No explanation needed there. Case closed.
She didn't state just that. She said other things.
Read the quote again. You're forgetting what her quote was.
Well, no, I was reading right there. I was reading what John's quote was.
Right.
Her quote is...
Yeah, listen to her quote.
Quote, everybody knows he was good at the beginning, but he just went too far. Now, hold on. Let's analyze that.
He just went too far.
What? Should he have only killed 2 million Jews?
She wasn't talking about the war. She was talking about before the war.
How do you know?
How do you know what she was saying?
She's talking about when he was...
How do you know?
How do you know?
How do you know? How do you know what she was talking about?
He makes the statement he was good. She makes the statement he was good at the beginning.
Hold on. Here comes Rob Spiewak.
Sir?
Uh-huh.
I hate to interject this, but the phones have been lighting up like a Christmas tree. Are you aware that the Autobahn was built so that Hitler's war machine could progress across Germany to attack? That's why the Autobahn was so well built. It was part of his war machine.
That's right. It was built stronger than it needed to be for car traffic.
She said it was a well-built road.
For his conquest.
It was a well-built road.
For his conquest to kill the Jews, to eradicate the Jews.
Either way, it's a well-built road and still used today.
What does that matter?
So what?
What does that matter?
So what?
So we got that going for us, which is nice.
She said he built good highways, and that's what he did.
And she's nuts, and you're nuts.
She didn't say he built it.
No, she said the quote was, and we have to go back.
He was good in the beginning.
He was good in the beginning. That's what we take issue with.
She then praised Hitler for building tremendous highways and rebuilding the German economy.
That's a fact.
but she said he was good at the beginning. That statement alone is what we take issue with, and loads of people take
Hitler
issue with.
Was, listen, we are not being controversial by taking this position. Everybody knows Hitler is bad.
No, I agree with you.
Okay, then why are you calling to defend Marge Schott?
Because you're saying that...
what are we saying?
Every one of those quotes you said, you made a point that, oh my God, it's a racist quote.
It is an anti-Semitic thing to say.
Do you think it was wise of Marge Schott to say this?
Definitely not.
But I'll say this. She does remain a lovely, lovely lady.
Yeah, I think we can all agree that she's a pretty lady.
And physical beauty is something that you can't look past, but I'm going to have to with these incredibly racist remarks that she's made.
I know how hard that is, because she's such a lovely lady.
Nothing I like better than a vicious ass.
And you ought to reevaluate the way you look at history.
Listen, I hope somebody... Are you calling us from work?
Yeah, I am.
I hope somebody in your office is a Jew, and I hope somebody figures out what's going on with you.
Not once did I say what he did was right. He was wrong.
You just want him to be pointed out as a good guy for building the Autobahn.
Of course not.
Are you or have you ever been a member of the Nazi Party?
No, sir.
White supremacist organization?
No, sir.
All right. I just want you to know we've got our eyes on you.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks for calling me. All right. Let me talk.
All right, you big idiot. Thanks. Goodbye. What a dope. I swear to God, what a dope. You know, we got to start taking the side of people against Hitler.
Yeah, well, it takes all kinds.
You know, I mean, I think we've hit some lows on this show in the past.
Mm-hmm. That's scary.
And keep in mind,
that guy, a comment like that, you know, it was, and we kind of look at it that way as just, hey, here's an idiot out there. But I'll tell you, when we get a call like that, scares me because we have people in this country that make the statements that the Holocaust never existed. These people are walking around. They're alive and well, and they're in every state in the Union. And that those kind of people, it starts with guys like that.
That fact and that call shows how easily people can become distracted from the real truth.
What a dope.
And you know, we didn't know.
I thought it was a fake. I thought the facts were so poorly constructed and so poorly written
mm-hmm.
that it's someone out there who's trying to get a rise out of us.
Yeah, and the fact that he didn't seem to have any concern over his point of view.
Hey, all you Jews,
mm-hmm.
I'm on know right now, we got any Jews that work here? Hitler built some fantastic roads, man.
That's why for the rest of the day I'll be walking through the office saying he was good at the beginning.
God, that freaks me out.
All right, well, now as long as we're into it, let me call Marge.
All right.
Let me just call and say once and for all.
Say it's over.
It's over.
Any chance you two kids had.
God.
I know you were looking forward to a long romantic summer.
Was I? The topless beaches?
Feeding each other hot dogs.
The bottomless beaches?
Sending the used flowers.
The bottomless beaches.
Oh, man.
Her big fingers.
Yeah.
Her big
fingers. Welcome to 1-800-ASK-4-ASS. The only party line you need for good butt action.
Right, that oversized golf ball she calls her butt.
I'm telling you. I want to tell you. Last night when I was watching her interview on ESPN, she had her hands up by her face.
Uh-huh.
Her nails are so eaten.
Yeah.
They're halfway down, nothing but skin. And look like old sailor's hands is what she has.
Sure, just like I told you, though. Chewed them off when she got caught in a trap. She was out in the wild.
Gee, I can't get my hand on it. Better chew them off. Shotzi.
Thank you for calling. This is transferring to extension 0. One moment, please.
All right. Calling the Cincinnati Reds Ball Club, right?
You're going to leave her the message.
I wonder how the Jews on her team feel. That makes you feel pretty good, huh?
Mm-hmm. She certainly angered the black players on her team before.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I will say, I still think they should have played that game.
I know you... Oh, here
hello?
Yes.
Cincinnati Reds. Hello, it's Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara. We're doing our national radio show right now, and I need to leave a message for Mrs. Schott.
Hold on.
Come on now. I've been on her side before.
You're not the ones that have been calling the election right, are you?
Oh, we called when the umpire was in the news, and I was the one that said I was on her side, but I thought they should have kept playing the game.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to give you publicity, okay?
I just need to leave a message. How about her voicemail? Can you put me through to that?
We don't have that.
Can you take a message for her?
How?
Real fast. Here's the message.
Now, wait a minute, guys. How about you just hold on to it?
You talked to a real nice guy last week who took a message for you, remember?
Yeah. I just want to leave a message for my little Margie.
That was publicity.
All right, okay, well, put me through to them, please.
Okay.
My little Margie.
Oh, I should have had a few vodkas with them. Wouldn't
now,
you?
Wait a minute, guys. Yeah.
If you were the switchboard operator, the Reds today.
Reg Publicity. This is Steve. How can I help you?
Steve, hi. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara doing our national radio show right now. You might remember us. We were the guys that called when Marge said the stuff about the umpire, and I said that they should go on playing the game.
Yeah, Don called to defend Marge's position.
Do you want to speak with someone directly, or?
Well, I'd like to leave a message for my little Margie.
Okay.
Okay.
What would that be?
This is a tough message for Don to leave because he's
Marge.
He's been a big fan.
Okay.
It's over.
It's over.
I can no longer be your biggest fan because, unlike you, I think Hitler was a bad man. Your body, your thighs will always be in my mind. But a-holes like you
are hard to find. That's very poetic.
And so it is now that I bid you adieu, adieu. I hope your body gets covered with frost. Wait, no, I changed that. I hope you die like all the Jews died in the Holocaust. And that's love, your little Donnie.
I think that will serve to sever your relationship.
Tell her it's over. It's over. All the thoughts about leaving my family, it's over.
And you've been your, you know, her biggest supporter.
Can't leave my wife, can't leave my kid, can't move to Cincinnati, can't sell the house, can't come move in. And I was with her when she took out the out-of-town scoreboard.
Yeah.
I said, hell, that's $300 a month. Cincinnati Reds need that money.
But the big one you were supporting her on was that umpire deal.
And I still do. No reason you couldn't have played the game.
Yeah.
However, she's gone too far now. She's broken my heart. She's out of my life. As Michael Jackson said, she's out of my life.
See that she gets that message, will you?
I'll pass it along.
Hey, how's it feel? You guys in the publicity department.
You guys must be going through real hell right now, huh?
It's not so bad.
Not so bad.
I'd like to speak with our assistant PR director, Charles Henderson.
I'd like to know how are you guys handling the fact that Marge said that Hitler was not such a bad guy? You got any Jews working there in the front office of the Reds? Are you a Jew?
I'm not going to make any further comment here. I will pass you along to Charles Henderson if you'd like.
That sounds like a waspish name. Let me talk to somebody Jewish there.
Hold on here.
Right.
Beleaguered. The word beleaguered comes to mind.
Absolutely. Well, they're working for her.
She brings it all down upon them.
I'm sure she's got them all categorized. Just go to your Jew file.
Mm-hmm.
Give me one of the Jews.
This is Kelly. Can I help you?
Hi, Kelly. This is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. We're doing our national radio show right now. You work for the Cincinnati Reds?
Yes, I do.
Are you Jewish?
No.
You got any Jews working there?
I'd be happy to take your name and number and give you a call back.
I would just like to talk to anybody who's Jewish to find out what they think about the things that Marge said about Hitler being a good guy.
Well, if I could take your name and number, we'll give you a call back.
Okay, but listen, I only want a Jew to call me.
Okay.
Jews only. Oh, hold on. We'll have someone give you that number. I'm serious. There got to be somebody in the accounting department or something. I'm sure you've got some Jews working for you. That's who I want to talk to. Hold on, please.
Hold on. Rob, give her the
number. They absolutely have no response.
Yeah, very silent.
No response. Meanwhile, she's up there in the front office having a few cocktails.
How are you? All right, so I made the statement. Dad, you take the mate calls? Fine. You ever driven on the Autobahn? It's a good road. Okay, sure, he built it for the tanks, for the Panzers.
And Rob is now actually giving her the number.
Get out of here.
WKFK.
Single-handedly keeping Disney out of the D.C. metropolitan area. Don and Mike.
I know our program is no longer heard in Chicago. We're working on that. But I got to think that somehow, somewhere, Dennis Rodman, maybe through a toaster, maybe through an electric toothbrush, some other item that he plugs in, he's going to hear this message. I love you, man. And I love you dressed up as a girl.
You're going to say it just like the guy in the commercials, too. I love you, man.
And those are the new T-shirts. Those are the T-shirts you'll be seeing on the beaches and the boardwalk this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. This year's big shirt. I love you, man.
I love you, man.
Did you see Dennis Rodman? Did you see the picture of him?
I didn't have the pleasure of seeing him in drag.
He had a feather boa.
Really?
He had total... When I looked in the newspaper, I thought it was a picture of RuPaul.
Yeah.
This morning's Washington Post.
He just can't seem to get enough attention, can he?
I love that man.
You would think that at this stage of the game that he's getting so much he wouldn't want anymore because, I mean...
He wants it all.
He wants more.
He wants it all.
What is this?
Oh, yes. Dennis Rodman is on Oprah right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, forget about that. Listen to this show.
Yeah.
Well, right now, they're in commercials.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure she's not asking him the good stuff anyway.
You know, she's probably doing her phony, girlfriend.
Well,
tell me something, Dennis.
You know how Oprah gets. The questions to ask him are, you know, along the lines of, would you want to, you know, you'd ask him the question, Dennis, will you sleep with me?
I'd ask him seriously. I'd say, listen, I understand a man who manipulates the media. I understand a man who is smart enough to think about his future when he's done playing basketball. I understand a man who's smart enough to know that there are 18 million kids out there who want to have a jersey number 91 just like you.
Right.
Here's what I want to know. Do you really want to have gay sex? Do you really want to play your last game in the NBA nude? And are you doing all this just as a big goof?
Yeah.
Or are you just doing this to get attention so that 10 years from now, people will still be talking about how crazy Dennis Rodman was when he played for the Chicago Bulls?
Crazy.
Deranged. These are the questions I would ask. Now, I myself, like with Marge Schott,
yes,
may have reached the point of no return upon seeing him dressed as a woman.
Well, no, I can tell that you have not reached the point of no return because I can see that you are visibly, I won't go as far as to say aroused, but you're visibly excited at the prospect of seeing Dennis Rodman in drag.
Would somebody bring me the sports section from USA Today? Would somebody just bring me the paper right now?
I look forward to seeing the picture. I will not get as excited as you did about seeing him in drag.
I did not get excited. It is the first time that I've looked at something Dennis Rodman has done and gone,
oh, you.
Now, wait a minute. And this includes his appearance on Dateline last week.
Right.
Which I wasn't able to comment on because of the kidney problem, but mm-hmm. I did see him on Dateline.
Right.
And I did see him with the big silver sunglasses. And
you know, the only thing I have... I take
the piercings and the tattoos.
I heard, when he got thrown out of one of the games recently, and he shouldn't have been thrown out, and he caused a little bit of a disruption there. And Scottie Pippen said that Dennis Rodman does this when he's really kind of bored in a game, and he's not getting the attention, and that occasionally detracts from the performance of the Bulls. Now, if they're winning the game by 30
Scottie
points...
Scottie Pippen's jealous.
I agree.
And he doesn't look as pretty. Take a look. You think you saw something in Tu Wong Fu, thanks for everything?
I think he is dreaming.
You think you've seen RuPaul?
He is positively dreaming.
You have not seen Dennis Rodman. And he dressed this way the day before their first playoff game with the Knicks. But he was in downtown Chicago signing his book.
I'm trying to see if he did his nails. I don't think he did. And I really, that disappoints me. You see that?
Yeah.
That where his hand is holding the feather boa?
Yes, no, those are man's hands.
Those are man's hands.
Very unmanicured.
And the eye makeup is beautiful, but he really should have done the nails if he wanted to go for the full effect.
The Bulls' Dennis Rodman left.
He's to the left here of the paragraph.
Yes.
Makes a fashion statement at his book signing Saturday in Chicago. He wore makeup, black leather pants, a silver tank top, and a pink feather boa. He also signed 1,400 books in 3 hours.
What kind of tank top did he wear? Pink?
A silver tank top.
Silver tank top.
And he had a pink feather boa. And here he's got his... This is the first time I've ever seen him really, like, wearing, like, girl's makeup, like, trying to look like a girl.
Sure. Now I think what you do is you wear that on the court. And then you see what kind of a response you get.
I don't think Michael Jordan would let him. I don't think. You know, and let's be honest about the Chicago Bulls.
Right.
Coach of the Chicago Bulls is Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
That guy with the salt and pepper beard, that scholarly guy.
Yeah, well, doesn't he give all the players books?
Yeah, well, that's part of his rap, that he's cultured and he's going to bring some intelligence to the NBA.
He's the guru. He's the guru of that team.
He gives them each a book when they go on a road trip.
Right.
But, you know, they're under no obligation to read the book. The real coach of that team is Michael Jordan. And if you watched the Bulls game yesterday,
right,
you saw it. At one point when they were coming off the court, the Bulls, I think, were up by two at this point. And Michael Jordan wanted the ball. And he was under the basket, he was out of position, and he was making a move, and Tony Kukoc gave him the ball a little early. Michael Jordan. Because
now, I'd pay good money to see him play for the Bulls.
Because he's such a great athlete. Michael Jordan makes the shot, right? He twists his body all this.
I saw that on a highlight film, an unbelievable shot that he ended up making.
And then they show him on the bench.
Yeah,
like behind his head. They show him on the bench with Tony Kukoc, and he's saying, wait, He's pointing at him, and you can read this. You wait. I'll tell you when I want the ball.
Right.
Wait. You know, there's no doubt who's the coach of that team.
And Dennis Rodman's down on the other end of the bench pointing to somebody going, pantyhose. I want the good pantyhose.
Oh, and you should watch the Bulls games if for no other reason. They always keep the camera on Dennis Rodman.
Oh, really?
Like, during the free throws, I've noticed Dennis Rodman does this. He holds on to the bottom of his shorts. You know, the guys wear their shorts very baggy, down around their knees. And he almost bends over like he's going to do that joke where he asks somebody to bend over and then
spell
the word run.
Well, he wants, you know what he wants to do? He wants to tear those shorts off. He wants to take his clothes off. That is the next step. This guy wants to be the center of attention, and that's why he's probably fighting the urge to drop trout every single game. And I think, you know that? He's going to lose that battle. He's going to lose that, and you're going to see it happen in one game. It'll start out, it'll be kind of like an accident.
And you know what? And if he does it, that's the worst thing that will ever happen to him. Because what's going to happen is that all the other guys on the team are going to turn against him.
Yeah,
right now, because
it sounds like they might already be.
Yeah, but he's a good enough player right now.
Right.
They don't care if he acts real stupid, because let's make no bones about it.
Yeah.
Dennis Rodman is the best rebounder in basketball.
He's the greatest.
And when he gets running with those big giraffe legs of his, I mean, when he gets going, he's funny to watch run because
right.
he's big and huge, but he's fast.
And well, just remember, though, he's just dying to take his shorts off.
I just want to ask him, just listen, just, you know, man to man, as a man who enjoys a good publicity stunt myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, really, Dennis, if taking this, you know, right here, this picture, this is where you've gone about as far as I think you can go with this.
Well, you know, see, I think that to me, when I see that picture, that's just a slight step beyond where he's been.
Some of
the outfits that I've seen him in on some of the magazine covers where
but
he's
But they've
wearing,
always been kind of butch.
He's always kind of butch. He gets most of his clothing from Victoria's Secret.
But he's always had that Billy Idol butch look about him. Like, he's always had the little leather cap.
Right.
He's always wearing the little leather vest. This is the first to look at him here.
This is what he really wants to do.
This is Waylon Flowers and Madam. He's like Madam. That's who he is.
Look at how comfortable he looks in that. Does he not look like a contented man there?
I'll tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good-looking woman.
Yeah, he makes a good-looking woman. I would have liked to see a little more hair. I would have liked to see perhaps a wig.
Why, though?
Because I don't like that look. I don't like that Stop the Insanity lady look. I would like to see the RuPaul long locks.
But I noticed during the game yesterday, his hair was back to kind of a yellowy color.
Mm-hmm.
But here in Chicago on Saturday...
And are those wigs? I mean, eventually, I would think with all that coloring...
No, he dyes his hair every day.
My God, though. I mean, you're going to lose your hair if you keep doing that.
This is dyed silver.
Really?
This is dyed silver.
He doesn't really like color it as much as spray paint it, right?
I don't know.
That's got to be something where you can change it.
These are all the questions I got to ask this guy.
Right now, he's magenta in the front and sort of gold in the back.
This is why I don't think Dennis Rodman is such the idiot. I think that this is all manipulated.
Sure.
This is all a plan. He just happens to be playing with the best basketball team ever. He just happens to be playing with the best basketball player of all time.
And contributing.
Yes, yes, Flanders.
That's right.
Yes. Flanders.
He's impossible not to talk about because he makes such a statement.
And to think about.
He's perfect for this for the 90s. So he's a 90s guy.
Dreamy.
He's dreamy for the 90s.
Dreamy Dennis Rodman.
I'm Dennis Rodman, and I'm dreamy for the 90s.
And you know he plays that game with the Bulls. Hey, Scottie Pippen, let's play a game. Bend over. He goes, all right, I'll bend over, Dennis. All right, now spell the word run.
R-U-N.
You know that's happened in the Bulls locker room.
Oh, absolutely.
You gotta know it.
You know, though, I hear he keeps totally to himself.
Well, the whole time that Poindexter coach is just sitting in the corner reading his book about meditation.
You don't believe that the coach is a guru?
No, I think Alan Goodman, I think he's kind of a guru. But Michael Jordan is the coach of the team.
Mm-hmm.
That team does whatever Michael Jordan wants.
Right.
You know, and as it should be.
So if Michael was to go out one day and say, cue Dennis Rodman.
I predict that you would see the Chicago Bulls get rid of Dennis Rodman.
Really?
Yeah. For right now, he's good for he plays his role.
Now, how come there haven't been pretenders to the throne? How come other players around the NBA haven't taken the example and showed up at appearances with feather boas? Because they look like him.
Well, could you picture Charles Barkley like this?
I'd like to know if he did. Now, you know,
Patrick Ewing?
You know how you know this is for real?
Shaq, Penny Hardaway, some of those guys dressed like this?
You know how you know this is for real? Yeah, this would be the question I'd want to hear you ask him.
What?
Did he do his own eye makeup? If he did, you know this is for real.
Yeah, because that's so pretty.
Yeah, that is so pretty.
That's a pretty job on his eyes.
That would mean
he's really like this.
Absolutely. And I think he might very well be.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be a woman.
That is Robin. And I want him to be my woman.
Imagine that. If he had a transsexual operation and he decided to become a woman and then he went to play for the United States Women's Olympic team that they're touting now, that would be a heck of a team. And I'm sure, you know, not this is to take nothing away from the ladies, that would help their rebound.
Center number 91,
Daisy Robinson. And that's a great name, Daisy Robinson.
And here she comes.
She comes out.
Hello.
Hello, gorgeous.
We'll be right back. We got entirely off track here. We haven't talked yet about tomorrow's show with the trip to Mexico. We haven't talked about Kathy Lee Gifford. We haven't talked about the phony disc jockeys. We'll do all of that. And Andy Griffith also in the next hour. Please stay right there.
Radio gods, Don and Mike.
Have you listened to Liddy Lincoln?
Gordo, if you could commit one crime without being caught, what crime would you commit? Would it be for a good or evil end? Why, it would have been Watergate. And for a good end. That's a no-brainer.
The Liddy Show's on tomorrow at 11. 1500 AM, WJFK Boulevard. The perfect accessory for a modest pump or a plunging neckline. The Donnie Mike Show.
Mm-hmm. Howdy, hi, we're back. Let's not forget the ghoul pool. You know, this guy who died over the weekend, the guy who was in the movie The Four Seasons with Alan Alda, he does not count.
Jack Weston?
Yes. We've received many faxes, one of them from the guys working at Eastern Onion Entertainment in Cleveland. Hey, Don and Mike, the ghoul pool. Jack Weston is now Jack passed on.
Mm-hmm.
How about it? This is from Doug and Dan. Well, guys, this guy simply does not rate.
And he doesn't rate, and even if he did rate, would he have been on the list?
Nobody had picked him, but more importantly, he doesn't rate. He's not a celebrity of the magnitude of Jimmy the Greek or Irma the Bombay.
There you go.
Andy Griffith in the next hour. I've just been handed, oh, God, a whole list of more shot quotes. More stuff Marge Schott has said over the last, just in the last year, the stuff she said in the last year.
Pretty words from a pretty lady.
Also the Kathy Lee tapes. First, just about the phony disc jockey stuff that I heard this morning.
This is great.
Now, I have no insight on this. I could be totally wrong, but I've been in radio for over 20 years, and I think I've seen about every stunt and every trick come down the pipe.
Sure.
So, there's this guy who we've made fun of on our show for a long time. This guy, his DJ name is Jack Diamond.
Jack Diamond, we call him Harvey Fisher.
Right, that's his real name. Now, this is a guy, for those of you around the country, and I won't waste your time with him, because he's like every other disc jockey in the morning. And what I mean by that is, if there's any disc jockey who says after his name, in the morning, that's your first sign he's a loser.
Sure.
Because who doesn't know they're listening to the radio in the morning, or in this case, in the afternoon?
Hello, it's Diamond in the morning.
In the boarding. In the boring. B-O-R-I-N-G.
Want to make sure you know it's in the boarding, just in case when you wake up you think it's the afternoon.
Right, yeah, how stupid are the listeners? So, we talked about this guy. We talked about him for a long time. We were on against him in the morning.
Yeah.
And we beat him handily when we did a morning show 5 years ago.
And I had the pleasure years and years and years and years and years ago of working with the guy and found out firsthand what a real jerk he can be.
So, I wouldn't even talk about the episodes where he called us on the speakerphone. Actually, we called him one day.
Yeah.
We would do stuff like call him during his show and tell him that he sucks. He was on the same time as we were, and it would flip him out. And he would send us faxes that had the ratings of the station he was on, I think, out in San Diego before he came to Washington.
One time he had a meltdown on the phone where he started just hurling profanities. And
said, F you guys, F you, you suck, I'm going to kill you, you guys suck, F you. So anyway, we leave the mornings and we come to the afternoons, but we still talk about him.
Mm-hmm.
So, one day, the guy, first off, he calls Ken.
Right.
Guy's another disc jockey at another radio station. He calls Ken Stevens. And Ken comes in and says, I've never gotten a call like this before. You guys ever talk about this guy, Jack Diamond? We said, yeah, we talk about him all the time.
Right.
The guy called me to complain, Ken says. So he said, you know, what kind of idiot is that? It comes with the territory.
Mm-hmm.
So we keep talking about him. The next thing you know, he shows up at the station.
Comes over for a visit.
He dropped by. But he didn't drop by like to say, hey, listen, stop it, man. You're really pissing me off, man. Stop it. He dropped by and he was like our dog when he came over.
He came over. And I remember sitting in the office waiting for you to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, I said, listen, first off,
you are a phony and your show does suck.
And he says,
valid point.
He brought us coffee mugs. Do you remember that? He brought us Q107 coffee mugs.
Absolutely.
Because he was so sick of us talking about him. He came over and he pretty much begged us to stop talking about him on our show. So we got bored with him like we get bored with everything. We stopped talking about him. But he's still there once in a while. And
he'll do something once in a while, or we'll make a note of it. And we did realize, because we've been in radio a long time, that if you talk about him too much, you help his cause.
Right. And for a while, when we were talking about him every day, we noticed in the monthly ratings he was trending up.
Yeah, we said, let's stop that.
So we stopped talking about him, and then his ratings went back down. But first of all, if he's doing like an impression of our show, except our show without any kind of cutting edge at all.
Right.
Our show, which is so mamby-pamby and so watered down so as not to offend anybody.
Right.
Second off, it's junked up with all this music. And third off, he's got this guy who's like his gerbil. This guy who is like his Danny O'Day, like his little ventriloquist dummy who he works with.
Welcome to the House of Wax.
Right. So anyway, last week when we were out, I got a call from somebody here at the station on Friday. They called and said, hey, did you hear that the guy that works with Jack Diamond, he quit? This guy, Bert. And they said, oh, good. Probably couldn't stand working for that son of a bitch
anymore. That wouldn't surprise me at all, because I work with a guy, and I know that, you can only take so much time.
So I'm listening to the guy. I turn on his show this morning when I get in the car. We're taking him to school. Turn the radio on. And right away, I hear Jack Diamond. And here's what he's up.
Really sad that Bert has left the program. And wish him nothing but the best. And I'm going to be trying out some new sidekicks, some new partners this week.
And here's the first thing he says. Contractually,
in my contract, I have to have a partner. So within 6 days, I have to have a partner.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, please, how stupid does he think you folks listening to the radio are? He has no such thing in his contract.
Yeah, no way.
So then he says,
management has got some guys. We're going to be bringing in some guys on a one-day basis to see how they do. Let's welcome the first guy. Come on in, Val.
The guy comes in, and I swear to God, the guy's talking like this, except he's not really talking like this. It's obviously somebody who's doing a bit.
Right.
So Harvey said, now it's my theory, it's the program director.
That's coming in there and doing this?
Right. That this is a bit that they've done, that they've figured out.
Right.
So the guy comes on and Harvey says,
good morning to you. How you doing?
And the guy starts doing this jive. Hey, my name is Bob Early.
Right.
And they say, Early? Bob Early?
Early in the morning. Yeah, right. There you go.
Okay, and the guy says, that's my God-given name. Good gracious, good morning, everybody.
So he's making a point to sound as bad as he possibly can.
Right. This goes on, and of course they're playing records in between it, so it goes on like, take Bart to school, drop Bart off, get back on the toll road, still doing it. Then here's how he gets out of it. Now keep in mind, I can't imagine anybody who's listening to the station thinking that this is a real on-air audition, okay? Things like this just don't happen. But because the guy's so bad, the guy is so obviously like a program director, okay? And they keep mentioning the program director all the time.
Right.
They keep saying,
man, that guy, he's so bad. Do you know, did Randy get a tape from him? Did Randy James, the program director, get a tape from him?
Yeah, like they'd be talking like that, on their cutting edge show about the guy that's in there already.
Right. So they say to him,
listen, we got a policy here at ABC Cap Cities that you have to take a drug test before you can be hired. So we need you to go down the hall in there, take a urine test for us, please.
And the guy goes, okay, super. I'll be glad to do that. So I'll go down to the hall right now. I'll tell you, this is Bob Early, everybody. He leaves the room. And then Harvey has a conversation with the people. He goes,
I don't know. The guy just was no good.
And then the traffic girl, she goes, I've been getting calls, Jack. People have called me and they said that he's no good. And then the news girl, she says, oh, Jack, people have been calling my news phone. Everybody thinks he's awful. What could you have been doing with him on the show?
This isn't a setup at all.
Yeah, so meanwhile, Harvey's still playing this straight, right?
Right.
Hey, I don't know. Station asked him to come here. I don't know. They still got to give him a trial. Says in my contract, I got to have a partner.
Yeah, and so I thought I'd talk about him while he's in that hermetically sealed room over there. Yeah.
So now they keep in mind while this is going on, they're saying how bad this guy sucks, and they keep talking about the program director. They keep saying, how could Randy have ever let that guy slip through the cracks? How could Randy let this guy? So now I'm thinking, this must be the program director. Now I don't know if this is Harvey or if this is a genius program director thinking, listen, hold on. You got the guy who works with you who just quit because you're such a big a-hole. Let's put some spin on this. Let's do a wacky bit.
Yeah.
I'll pretend, here's what the program director would say. I'll pretend like I'm the disc jockey,
and I'll do my phone-in DJ thing. My name will be Bob Early.
Sure. So, how do they end it? So here's what you, here's what I'm wondering. I'm listening. I'm thinking, first off, he's taking no phone calls at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obvious that the audience is not involved in this.
Yeah.
Because you get a call on the air and someone will say, please, hey, you're lying to the audience. What kind of idiot theater is this you're trying to do? So here's how they get out of it. They call the guy back in, and they tell the guy, Bob Early, Bob Early, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They tell him that he flunked his drug test.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and the guy said, how could that be possible? I don't take drugs. Don't know. And then they say,
did you have a poppy seed bagel this morning out of the lobby?
Right.
And the guy says, and how?
Right out of Seinfeld.
I had 4 poppy seed bagels.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Thank you.
That's it.
And then Jack Harvey says,
we don't poppy seed. That kind of show up as a positive for a drug test. So I'm positive you're not a drug user. However, we're not going to be able to hire you for the job. But thank you very much for coming
thank you.
In.
Thank you. See you later. Thank you.
And then the guy goes, well, all right. Hey,
okay, yeah, no problem.
I wouldn't like working with you. I'll see you later. Bye-bye. And he leaves. And then Harvey goes on a whole spiel about how that guy is everything that's wrong with radio, how that guy is such a big phony, and how they don't do a phony show, and how whoever it is who replaces the gerbil that he worked with, that guy will be real, just like Jack Diamond is real.
Because that's just not the kind of radio we do.
Now, what about what I said before about the fact that this is all a setup to get the guy back?
Right. Now, I had that thought also.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't put it past, because you know the newspapers are going to write about it. They got nothing else to write about, the radio column.
Just keep an eye on that one.
They'll write about it. And then, wham, they'll come back together. And they'll have the big, tearful reunion.
Super duper.
I just want you folks to know how you are being jerked around.
It's a scam.
If you listen to that, and if you believe that.
It's a scam.
For goodness sakes. Bob Early with you, everybody.
Super duper.
Bob Early. Sounded to me like the program director, Randy James, everybody.
And it was the phoniest you've ever heard.
It was. It was beyond phony.
A Phoebe attempt.
It makes phonies look like they are reliable. I mean, it was not bad. It was bad times 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And how you could do a show like that, and how you could think that anybody in your audience is so stupid to believe that, that is beyond me. That is absolutely beyond me. And the freaks that carry your lucky stuff to the room, Jack. I want to tell you, I've never been strung out a day in my life.
Jack.
Jack, I've been getting lots of calls about it. Oh, Jack, the news line's been ringing off the hook.
And oh, won't it be a tearful reunion when that worm comes back to work?
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's the latest on that.
Yeah, just don't always be ever vigilant when you're listening to the radio.
Don't believe anything.
Mm-hmm.
However, you can believe this. We'll have Andy Griffith in a second.
Yeah, way to go.
If he doesn't stiff us like he did last week. Andy Griffith, you know the old Andy of Andy and Mayberry in a moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Two grown men who can't get enough of each other.